Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Apollo Microsystems Q2 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mohit Lohia from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for Quarter 2 and H1 FY26 earnings call of Apollo Microsystems Limited. First of all, I would like to thank management for providing us the opportunity to host this call. From the management side, we have Mr. Badam Karunakar Reddy, Managing Director, Mr. Addapalli Sai Krishnakumar, Whole-time Director of Operations, Mr. Sudarshan Chilluveru, Chief Financial Officer of the company. So without further delay, I would now hand over the call to management for the opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. Happy Guru Purnima to all of you. Thank you for being with us today. It's always a privilege to engage with our valued investors and provide updates on our performance, strategy, and future outlook. I am pleased to share that we have delivered our highest-ever quarterly revenue and PAT, marked by consistent execution, operational discipline, and a strong commitment to indigenization and the Make in India initiative. I trust you have had the opportunity to review our financial results, letter to shareholders, and press release and investor presentation. This marks our second interaction for the fiscal year 2026. Let me first take you through our consolidated performance for half-yearly and second quarter ended September 30th, 2025. H1 FY26 marked another period of strong growth and operational excellence. As we continue to build on the remarkable momentum achieved in FY25, revenue grew by 42% semi-annually to 359 crores, up from 250 crores in H2 FY25, which is almost in line with the kind of guidance that we have been giving. Supported by steady execution of our healthy order book and the seamless ramp-up of several products into serial production, EBITDA stood at 100 crores, reflecting a robust 81% semi-annual increase. EBITDA margin also expanded by 600 basis points to 28% in H1 FY26, compared to 22% in H2 FY25, underscoring our sustained focus on the productivity improvement and cost optimization. Profit after tax rose sharply by 97% year-on-year basis to 48 crores, as against 24 crores in H2 FY25. The PAT margin improved by 330 basis points, reaching 13.3% in H1 FY26, driven by enhanced operational efficiency and a more favorable product mix. In Q2 FY26, we delivered another outstanding performance, continuing on the momentum from a landmark FY25. Revenue surged by 69% quarter-on-quarter basis to 225 crores, up from 134 crores in Q1 FY26, a result of our robust order book execution and successful transition of multiple products into the production phase. Our EBITDA rose sharply by 45%, reaching 59 crores in Q2 FY26. PAT registered a 70% quarter-on-quarter increase to 30 crores, compared to 18 crores in the previous quarter. These results underscore our continued operational excellence and reaffirm the strength of our growth trajectory into FY26 and beyond. We are pleased to begin with two significant milestones that marked our continued growth and global progress. First, updating on the corporate actions on the CapEx side, Unit 3 Phase 1 civil structure is complete. Phase 2 civil structure has already started, and partial production in the Phase 1 has already started, and the full-fledged production will be starting from end of this financial year or probably by Q1 next financial year. As far as the acquisition point of view is concerned, we have already paid 107 crores for acquiring 100% equity of Ideal Explosives Limited, which we have already informed to all our investors. Looking ahead, we expect revenue to grow at a CAGR of 45%-50% over FY26 and FY27, driven solely by the core business, excluding any contributions from the recent acquisition. This growth is underpinned by a healthy order book and multiple products entering the production phase, one after the other. We have evolved from being a subsystem and systems manufacturer to establishing ourselves as a full-fledged weapons manufacturer, a significant milestone in our journey of growth and technological excellence. Building on 40 years of technological excellence, we are poised to evolve into a multidisciplinary defense system powerhouse to drive next-generation innovation. Our vision is bold, built on strong fundamentals and an unwavering commitment to creating value for our stakeholders. Thank you for your continued trust and support. We now look forward to addressing your questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nilabja Day from Ashmore Research. Please go ahead.
Okay. Sir, good morning and congratulations on an excellent set of numbers. I think you are on your trajectory of the maintaining the guidance. Sir, actually, my fundamental question, like in case I go through your presentations very carefully, you have a strong dependence on the domestic sector, everything. But how you are thinking of managing or catching up the whole defense spend happening specifically, say, in Europe? What about the strategic tie-up? Because some of your competitions are already doing the same. They are connecting with some of the Europe's key defense manufacturing companies. So because there is a domestic cyclicality of these orders, we know how difficult sometimes it becomes. Can you throw some light how you are going to tackle that exports and tying strategic tie-ups and building more international footprint? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much, and for, keenly understanding, what we are doing. So primarily, we have been a out and out, technology development company in, it's a core technology development rather than a system integration company or a lead integration company, right from the beginning, actually. Of late, we have been working for last 40 years with, DRDO programs primarily, and as we have already told you several times that, we have presence in every indigenous missile program of, DRDO. Last, few years, as you rightly pointed out, last few years, we have started, trying to look forward to making a complete, system or a platform by ourselves. So our journey on this particular direction has started a bit late compared to other lead integrators who are actually getting a tie-up with other companies and doing a system integrating job. Okay, that we caught up a little bit late, but carried by a huge technological, experience that we have and, right from a system and a subsystem level, we have recently started entering a strategic tie-ups with different companies, which we have recently also announced that we have entered in, partnership with an American company for developing a rocket motor where the complete Grad rocket is being developed by us. We already have few, interest coming up with, different countries. We also have been communicating with you that, we have certain technologies which are already matured in the naval domain, which we are talking to different companies from different countries. We have submitted our proposals. We also submitted the request to MOD to give us a clearance for export of such technologies. These being a very sensitive systems, it will take some time. Yeah, but the interest is very long and, multiple due diligence are already taken up by these, service companies, from different countries, particularly from Middle East and from the European region. And going forward, you will see that, we will be able to clinch a big ticket projects for these technologies. And I wish you would appreciate the point that these will be 100% indigenous technologies rather than just being a lead integration system export.
Great, our, thank you.
Artist, our participation is there, domestic projects, no number of programs, our participation is there. With our present facility, we are not able to take up even foreign orders, I think, we have already announced one project, a good project from UK, we are holding one order. It is the 113 crore order we are holding. We are expecting more and more orders from other Saudi also, we are expecting some orders, and Europe side also, we are expecting some orders. Yeah, it's going on.
Great.
Unit 3 is ready, then unit 3 is ready, then number of people visited already there. In fact, we are updating the overseas companies. Once our facility is ready, they want to come and audit our facility, and they want to have a MOU with us. MBTA, big team has visited, almost 6-7 people team has visited. The present facility, they visited, they are so happy, and they are even visited our upcoming units also. Once we are fully operational, then we are going to enter into a MOU.
Surely, sir. Wishing you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Divesh Shah from Uchit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Sir, first of all, congratulations for very good results. And sir, my 2-3 questions regarding growth of our company. Since we have completed the corporate action about acquisitions of IDL, IDL is now 100% subsidiary of our company. Sir, can you please elaborate on what will be our strategy for IDL for a short term for 1 year and for a long term of 3 years? Where you see the IDL after 3 years? Because as a layman investor, as far as explosive is concerned, we see a huge opportunity, and only listed entity for a listed entity is solar industries. So we tend to compare IDL with the solar industries. So what is management view about IDL? So can you elaborate about the IDL strategy? Then I will come out with next question, sir. Please.
Thank you, Diveshi. Rightful question. But I will be able to give you a very short glimpse, not a very detailed one at this point of time, because, you know, we are evolving a much detailed presentation on it. We will come back to investors and do it subsequently. But broadly, I will tell you, which we have already given a rationale for, you know, acquiring this company. I would not like to take any of my, you know, other companies' name. They are all one of my big customers as well, and also a competition to some extent. So the point here is that, you know, the acquisition of IDL is a both backward as well as a forward integration for us. That's point number one. So the, several of these systems that have already got matured, you know, we want an explosive chain also to be available with us. That's how, you know, we have started, you know, looking for an explosive company for acquisition. That's how we have acquired IDL Explosive. So point number two is that, you know, individually as an explosive company, you know, we would be moving towards a direction of, you know, manufacturing, you know, critical high energy explosives in IDL Explosive, and also creating a multiple, you know, filling lines for different calibers of, you know, artillery as well as for the weapons actually. So for which we have already started, you know, preparing proposals for it. And we have already negotiating with some of the manufacturers for acquiring the machinery, you know, all such, you know, aspects of it we have already started taking. You will get to hear a lot of, you know, actions happening on IDL Explosives, you know, in next 1 week, 10 days onwards, you know, we will keep announcing on it, you know, we are entering into some strategic relationship with different companies, both domestic as well as international, along with, you know, the existing capital requirement that Apollo has. So this is a glimpse of what we wanted to, you know, share with you as of now. More in detail, we'll keep you, you know, keep you posted. But broadly, I can tell largely to all investors that, you know, that a lot of initiatives are being planned. You know, specific consultants are appointed, you know, for, you know, complete overhaul of IDL Explosives. You will get to hear from time to time, sir.
But sir, my gut feeling is that IDL can be as good as or bigger than Apollo itself. So is it possibility after 3 years?
On the Guru Purnima day, why should I say no, sir?
That's a positive answer.
We are thinking big, sir. We are aiming big. Okay, that much we can say, yes.
Okay, okay. And sir, my second question is regarding our growth prospects, CapEx for unit three. I think first phase is just operational started, and I think it will be over by March 26 or first quarter, as you in your opening remark. So generally, last year you have projected a growth of about 45%-50% for Apollo. So after the unit three starts first phase, so what is your expectations for growth for financial year 2027, generally?
If we compare the present facility and once unit three is ready, we are enhancing our capacity to eight times present this thing to the once our unit three is ready. It is almost eight times enhancing the production capacity. And same time, a lot of domestic this thing also must have here. Now government is one by one they're clearing. Maybe we are maybe before this financial year, and we are expecting good orders from our MOD itself. And also once unit three is ready, we are also going to sign MOI with some of the overseas companies also. Good growth will be there once we start unit three.
Okay. And sir, my last question about the EBITDA margin. I think in a previous conference call, you have just cautious us that the EBITDA margin in second quarter will be little bit less. And this quarter, for EBITDA margin is about 26.3%. So can we consider this EBITDA margin as the lowest, or still we can go lower?
Sir, we have been telling constantly that, you know, there will be a revenue growth, but sometimes in some quarters, some of the projects will get stayed up faster, some of the projects will get slowed down based on the end customer requirement, where one common customer, you know, we are handling multiple projects. So depending upon the product mix, you know, certain, you know, margin levels, you know, small here and there, you know, small variation will be there. But, you know, the momentum, you know, is definitely not going to be, you know, disappointing for any one of us, actually. That's how I know broadly with the kind of the current order book that we have. That's how I can comment as of now.
Okay, sir. Thank you and all the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rupesh from Long Equity Partners. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on fantastic result. I have two questions. First question, sir, is recently we won a TOT for mechatronic fuse for grenades. So can you just give some color around the opportunity size? When will the TOT be completed? When can we see some trial orders, commercial orders, some color around that? And then the second question is on the naval component. So I think we're present in all torpedo programs, ALWT, ASWT, Brahmastra, and I think some of the orders, I think are there. So if you can, in for each of the three programs, if you can tell where we are, how many, and what is the opportunity size, when will we receive the order, when will it be executed? So these are the two questions, sir.
Sir, size, at this point of time, we are restricted to, you know, give you the size of the opportunity. But ALWT, AON approval has already come, which is there in the market last couple of weeks back, you know, Ministry of Defense has already given. You will also see a good order, you know, flowing for ASWT to, you know, Bharat Dynamics Limited from Indian Navy. And we having a significant participation in the program, we are also going to get. Most likely that, you know, this ASWT order, most likely we may get within March, is what we are getting to know as of now. Okay. So ALWT, AON has already released. You know, once, you know, the tender is out, BDL is a partner for it, and, you know, our share of, you know, business will be getting in that as well, sir.
So, Brahmastra and then the mechatronic fuse, sir.
Mechatronic fuse, you know, recently we have taken a mechatronic, so basically a mechanical fuse. We have developed few mechanical and mechanical plus electronic fuses indigenously, but for certain applications, you know, instead of we developing, you know, we have, you know, taken a TOT from DRDO, which is applicable for certain motor applications, you know, that's the thing. The opportunity size is very big. It's a recent TOT. So we will be absorbing the technology by developing a few prototypes in next, you know, one or two quarters, and get it validated and something. I think in next 1 year down the line, you know, I think, you know, we'll start, you know, taking the opportunities, you know. Already we have some already interest coming up from various customers. That's how, you know, this fuse TOT we have started taking from DRDO.
Okay, okay, sir. And final question, if I may squeeze in, sir, BrahMos, I think, is coming up with ER extended range and BrahMos NG. So do we have some presence in that? And at least to me, it seems like in emergency procurement that is one of the big programs. So can you just comment on it?
BrahMos, the new version, our participation is there. One of the subsystems already we received order, we are working on it. And other things, we have participated and they are going to decide any time, maybe next 1-2 months time. We are also expecting couple of projects from BrahMos also. But one project is already secured. One project is already secured.
Sorry, go ahead, sir.
BrahMos, one project already we are doing. And if I remember correct, some 5 to 6 projects already we have participated. Technical evaluation is going on. Once that completes, no, they are going to decide actually. We are expecting more and more orders from BrahMos next 2-3 months time.
What is the outlay, sir, at the program level, at ministry level? Do you have some number?
I think that's not appropriate, you know, to share, you know, we have certain, you know, critical information, but I think it's not appropriate to share.
Okay. Okay, sir. I'll come back in the queue for more questions. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prateek Bagadia, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Good morning, sir. First of all, congratulations for a great set of numbers. And thanks for giving me this opportunity. So I have few questions. First, I just wanted to talk about the promoter pledge part. So as I can see in the September quarter, it has reduced to almost 35%. So just wanted to know if we are on track of the earlier guidance of getting it to zero by FY26. Are we on track on that?
Yeah, like if you see, we are reducing. I think next 1 week time, we are going to see, you know, like... I think we are every month we are reducing something. Yeah, definitely next 5-6 months time I'm going to close all the pledge part. That's what I'm planning.
Okay, thanks a lot, sir, for that answer. My second part I wanted to know is on the receivable side. So if we see our receivable is almost 360 crores, that is close to Q1 and Q2 revenue. So can you throw some light on it, as in, is it going to be the same going forward as well?
So this financial year end, you will see a significant reduction in receivables actually. Some of the, you know, long gestation projects, you know, which the, you know, the receivable, this thing is over. It has almost come to a final phases actually. I think, you know, Q3 to some extent visibility will be there. Q4 significant reduction will be there.
So I assume that going forward from FY27 onwards, receivable should be on the lower side. Is my understanding correct?
Comparative levels are lower.
Let us say if we are doing more of production orders, the receivable will, this thing will reduce. A production item, no, line of production will be there. Once we supply, immediately within 30 days time, we will be getting this thing. If it is R&D, development plus production orders, it takes more time for the releasing acceptance and releasing payment.
Okay, okay. And so my final question is on the export side. So last time when we spoke about this, I think my understanding was that we don't directly apply for export orders, but via organizations like DRDO. So I just wanted to understand what kind of opportunity do we see in the export side, the process, and probably in the next 1 or 2 years, what would be the revenue split between domestic and exports? If you can throw some light on this.
See, primarily there are two aspects of it. Certain technologies which we have developed where, you know, along with the DRDO, for that, you know, we need to take both DRDO approval and Ministry of Defense approval, both. Okay. Certain technologies which we have developed in-house, we just need to take a Ministry of Defense approval for exports. Okay. So this is the how the process would be there in for a type of business that we are currently working. As the day stands, we are having a little over above, you know, 100 crores, you know, opportunity of, you know, as an export order, which is presently a kind of a development project actually, okay, and it's a very critical avionics system. As far as the mix is concerned, you know, at this point of time, you know, we are not able to give any guidance for it, but in subsequent quarters, you know, as we get more such opportunities and orders, you know, then we will be able to give further guidance on that.
So, but the process would remain the same, that we are going to apply through organizations like DRDO. We are not directly going to apply for it.
It's the same for any...
It is same for any organization. It is Indian the same procedure we have to follow, yes.
Okay, okay. Thanks a lot, sir. Thank you and good luck.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anand from GK Globus. Please go ahead.
So thank you for the fantastic presentation. Can you please elaborate on your order book?
So, little less than 800 crores is the order book as on September end actually. Okay. Over and above that, in last one and a half months, we have received few more orders, you know, and little amount of production orders, but significant amount of, you know, new development orders, you know, for the next generation, you know, weapon programs and next generation platform programs actually. So that's how, you know, I can say.
And what is the execution timeline of this order book?
So it basically, it's, we keep getting some short-term projects, some medium and long-term projects, but I think, you know, as far as this financial is concerned, you know, as the day stands, whatever guidance we have been giving, you know, we are maintaining it, and I think going forward for the next two quarters also, we will be maintaining the similar guidance actually.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Kumar from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. First of all, congratulations to all of you for a great set of numbers. I wanted to understand about the proportion of developmental projects in overall pie compared to the production. So maybe you can spend it some time on explaining the proportion with respect to revenue, with respect to order book, and in our product portfolio, how much would be the developmental proportion, and how much of this is actually going towards production, from development to production it is moving. So that would be helpful.
25 to 30% in between band, you know, is the production size compared to the development. Development to core development, development come production orders actually. Going forward, okay, you know, it may increase up to 45%. You know, that's what we are contemplating. As you all know that we are expecting some very large cap, you know, projects, you know, going forward, you know, for which all of us are waiting very eagerly. Our infra is getting ready. In all aspects, we are fully getting geared up for it. So in once that strikes, I think, and then that revenue kicks off, you know, and once the order comes within 2 to 3 quarters, you know, I think the revenue mix in terms of the production versus this can significantly, you know, vary, which will also, you know, anchor a lot of change in the overall revenue mix as well as, you know, the, you know, numbers that you see in the P&L and balance sheet as well. It's a total demography change of the, you know, the numbers as well as the, both in terms of the working capital cycle and all, you will see a lot of change. But yeah, presently this is the mix broadly, you know, I can say.
Sir, sorry, just to clarify, this 25-30% you said is developmental as of now or otherwise?
Production.
Production. Okay, so more of development right now, which will move into production and hence the benefits.
We have footprint in almost every missile program of DRDO. So you can imagine, yeah, like, you know, the development projects are numerous numbers actually, and different types of technologies. We are not a single type of technology company. There are a variety of technologies, different groups, different group heads and team leaders and engineer sets as an individual, like a company, you know, in our R&D chain. So who are working on
more than 60% of subsystems we are Apollo Microsystem is doing today.
Okay, great to hear. And sir, what would be the margin profile movement once the product moves from development to production? Some ballpark would be great to understand.
It depends on the type of the system, type of technology. There is nothing like, you know, specific, you know, ballpark. And that too, similar technology for different application, it is different actually. So it's like that.
Production will be more...
But obviously the production margins are higher compared to...
Yeah,
the
yeah. So basically, I'm trying to understand whether it is single-digit margin in development and production, it becomes 25%, 26% or so, or is it similar to each other? I mean, is there a stark difference?
We don't want to share
sensitive
information.
Hopefully,
let us think.
Okay, no problem. Just last bit. That this proportion, if you can please guide that by FY26 and 27 and how this proportion would move. Maybe 2 years down the line or so.
I already told some anchoring projects, very large cap projects we are expecting of. You know, this 25-30%, 35% will shift to 40-45% is what we can give you a broad guidance as of now.
Oh. Thank you so much, sir, and all the best for future quarters.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pinkesh Jain from Shri Stock Vision Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yes. So just wanted to check about the installation of new testing facilities, because earlier we said that this testing of all the products also consumes a lot of time, which further elongates our working capital cycle. So just if you can throw some light on that.
Yeah. Yeah. See, like present facility, we don't have every facility. Like some of the facilities, now we are dependent on DRDO facility and other private company facility we are using. Where you know, like unit 3, we are going to have all the facilities. Like EMMC test is there, so it takes a lot of time, and we have to be maintained queue, no? Like 2-3 months time, in fact, no, we are losing every time. But once our facility is ready, then we can do in-house only, we can do all the testing. We are going to have all kinds of test facility in our unit 3.
So that completely like reduces our dependence on DRDO for the purpose of testing?
Totally 100%, we are 100% facility we are going to have in unit 3.
Okay. And we will be spending a sizable capex on the testing facilities also, sir, out of the total around capex?
60 crores we are spending only on test equipment.
Okay. And that also helps in reducing the working capital days, right?
That can reduce the execution time. That's what.
Execution. Right. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manish Gupta from Equinox Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, this is regarding newspaper reports that Indian government is actively considering to allow wholly owned subsidiaries of foreign defense manufacturers to qualify as Indian vendors. So how that would affect, the domestic defense manufacturers in general, and let's say, Apollo Microsystems in particular?
So very interesting point you have raised. Particularly, we would not say that, it's not a welcoming gesture, but definitely not a very good move is what, we can say. But in one way, we can also say that by this fully owned, companies, which is 100%, investment by these companies. Once these companies start establishing, their offices here in India, a lot of further, ecosystem also gets developed, and the existing ecosystems will have a share of, improving upon their, a technological base and other things like, and also a lot of opportunity which will come to several companies like us. So it's a flip of the coin, like in the both sides. Okay. So majorly if we see that, if a very large cap companies are coming in terms of, for example, some kind of an aircraft manufacturing something, larger communities in terms of the medium scale, large scale and small scale industries also will get benefited. But certain areas and technologies that, may still continue to have a dent. But for Apollo Microsystems, both is an advantage also. At the same time, we also see that, our footprint is majorly with the DRDO, and those programs are not going to have any effect by these, foreign OEMs coming and fully, setting up their shops back in the country. So, you'll have to, look it in that direction. both in the company perspective as well as the general perspective.
Okay, so the broad understanding that one should take away is that Apollo is not going to be largely affected by the advent of these companies in India, though some part of our, let's say, production or orders might get affected by the impending competition. Is that correct, sir?
Yeah. Not related to a strategic programs, of course, but yeah, there are differences in ocean of a kind of a requirement. You know, there are various other. For example, now the mail UAV is, program, very large program is coming up. There is no such, similar kind of a capability company presently available, which is matured. So obviously some foreign OEM will come. The government, Ministry of Defense has stipulated that 50% of the system has to be indigenous actually. So it's a both advantage to some extent, and for certain players who are eyeing for certain type of things, it could be disadvantage. For a very large system integrators who are eyeing in a different way, but we being at a medium level currently, I think, it's for next few years, I think we don't see a serious dent for us actually. It could also, result in different opportunity.
Advantage only we'll get,
And sir, just a clarification, I think I heard that you said after Unit 3 is completed, your capacity will go up by 8x. So is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right. And how much is the capex for Unit 3, sir?
Total 250 crores what we are investing.
All right. All right. Thank you, sir. I'll fall back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shreyans Kotlani from SG Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir. I had a few questions. So one was, in the presentation, we not mention of the RF strategy or any products related to RF. So we've been talking about that for a while now in terms of an acquisition or so. If you could give an update on where we are with that and what business, we have on that front.
Yeah, so, in fact, RF side has, so senior level team, in fact, yesterday only one team has joined. Okay. And we are very good in sonar side. There are a lot of technologies we have established. And now we are working on a seeker electronics for various missile application. And yesterday only some senior level team from some other company. Three people are joined. And some more people... now Marine also some 5-6 people are gaining. So we are now going to concentrate on RF side also.
The acquisition point of view, it is going little slow because we were trying to make a consolidation in the current existing acquisition that we have done. Once that gets completed, we'll start steering up the other one activity also. But yes, it's there on the cards.
Got it. So my second question is on the IDL capex. So it does not currently cater to, a defense explosive as such. So do we need additional capex on the IDL side to, build capabilities in that front? And also given the current balance sheet, will we need additional rounds of funding anytime soon given the cash levels that we have, or do you look to take on additional debt given the way we are growing and the working capital requirements?
As I already answered to one of the other investors, there are a lot of overhaul requirements that we would be doing in IDL Explosive owing to their current balance sheet size and not in terms of the size, the health and other point of view. From time to time, we'll keep you updated about it. Obviously, there's a lot of capex and many other initiatives that, we would be doing in it. As and when we keep taking a, call on that, we'll keep you posted about it.
Got it. So, but for Apollo, we're not looking to, raise funds in anytime soon,
I would reserve my, answer for this. There are certain things which we are contemplating. As and when the board gives a kind of an approval, I think, we will reach out to you for back again.
Okay. My last question is, since the QRSAM, order is out, the order value and, DEL expects the order to come in March. So, if now, given that it's out, could you quantify, what would be our contribution to QRSAM?
Fuel cell, a good contribution is there. And it is in RFQ stage, you know, like Bell, BDN, no, they are participating in this thing. Sanction has come and they are participating in a tender. I think before March, Bell and BDL is expecting order. Maybe we are also expecting before March or maybe first quarter of next financial year.
Right, no, my question is like the government has actually...
Sorry to interrupt, sir, but I request you to rejoin the question queue for follow-up question as there are many participants left in the queue.
Okay, right.
Thank you. I request each participant to ask two questions from now on. The next question is from the line of Nishita from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. So, I just wanted to ask, IDL is currently loss-making. By when do we envision it will be profitable?
We have started taking certain initiatives. I think, you know, by Q2 next financial year, I think, you know, we should be in position to make some good turnaround.
Okay, understood. And... So our EBITDA margin, is that going to stay in the range of 26 to 28% for FY26? Because I see that since past 3-4 quarters, there's been a lot of up and down in the EBITDA margin.
Yeah, as we told, you know, the quarter on quarter basis, the different product mix have a different margin profiles actually. So broadly, it is all guided based on that actually. So... It will be varying in those ranges actually.
Okay, understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nilab Jade from Ashmore Research. Please go ahead.
Okay, sir, another questions I have that, sir, how what you are doing, many of the Indian, specifically you are focusing on the products. So currently your R&D spend is around 33 crores annually, if I'm not wrong, from the date you mentioned. So like to know that what's your, and many of you, and you are closely working with DRDO, but beyond that, how you are scaling your R&D spends and also the hiring of the people, because as we understand from multiple industry people that getting right kind of people in this being a very nascent industry is very difficult. So specifically, can you throw some light on your talent acquisitions and R&D spend part?
So we generally believe on retention mantra rather than a recruitment mantra. So, you know, you have rightly understood that, you know, getting a new talent and then, you know, nurturing them is very difficult. And already an existing talent, you know, recruit, you know, who is already working in some other place is also not so very easy because there are different disciplines in which we are working, electronics, electromechanical, and, you know, a mix of various other, you know, systems coupled by a domain knowledge or domain expertise to a certain extent, which will make them a proper, you know, calling as a, you know, talent primarily. Okay. This community as a defense, you know, systems and particularly more so, you know, in the areas where we are working, there are very limited resources available. But what we do is that, you know, there are some, you know, existing, you know, seniors who have more than 15, 20 years experience. We are retaining them. More than 5 to 8 years experience of team leaders, we are retaining them. And over and above that, you know, certain talent of 0 to 2 years experience, you know, freshers, we recruit and, you know, we nurture and, you know, we hold on to them. It's not that, you know, freshly every time at new talent and all. Over and above that, you know, we are complementing them with the, you know, experts in the specific domain of that particular area who are retired, you know, scientists from, you know, the different labs of DRDO. And in some places, you know, the production engineering and quality sites, you know, experts who have already, you know, got retired from different PSUs, maybe BDL, we have, you know, people who have retired from HAL, from Bharat Electronics, from Ordnance Factory, like that. So this is how a mix, you know, with which, you know, we actually, you know, pull our overall R&D as a resource.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rifat Fatma from Yashvi Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, so my question would be on Ideal side. So when can we expect Ideal financials to get consolidated as Apollo
Micro? Q3.
Okay. And what are the margins that we can expect then?
So currently Ideal is a loss-making company at EBITDA level actually. As I was telling the other investor also that, you know, we are doing, you know, we have started taking some overall initiatives in that. To certain extent, you know, we have been successful in, you know, certain areas. Not much I'll be able to divulge on a call or, you know, other things. But you will see a lot of, you know, improvement coming in from the next financial year in the Ideal as well. That's how I can broadly comment as the day stands.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Dhaval Jain from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. I'm audible.
Yeah, sir.
I just wanted to get an update that you had mentioned earlier that our order book would be almost 3x of our FY25 order book. Are we on track to achieve that? Because you just said that we have a order book close to 800 crores right now.
Yeah, Dhaval. So it is. We have initially given a guidance by March. You know, we will be having owing to some large cap, you know, projects which we were expecting. As the day stands, it is actually going on track. You know, we are also, you know, fingers crossed. You know, waiting, you know, keenly for it. Even if it in case misses by March, you know, by first quarter it should happen. That's what, you know, we are feeling. But AON is much awaited. You know, the, you know, various stages of, you know, crossing the AON has already passed through is what we are understanding from our customer as of now. I think very soon AON approval should be coming. As soon as AON approval comes, it's as good as, you know, a project primarily for us. But expecting that this is going to happen, you know, as I told, you know, during the beginning of this this thing itself, that, you know, we have fully gearing up, you know, for the full-fledged production of it. And both in terms of, you know, the integration and in terms of the explosive chain, you know, and all other aspects, you know, we are getting fully geared up. You know, by the time the order hits into our records, you know, we'll be able to quickly start the production. That's how, you know, broadly I can give a guidance to you.
Right. So is this order based on we getting the MIGM order that we and BDL are the two companies in it? Is that MIGM understanding right?
MIGM is one of the cases, okay. Even QRSAM is there. That is also from QRSAM also we are expecting big orders, okay. And ESWT also we are expecting big orders. Like ALWT already DIC approval has come and that program also we are expecting some orders.
Right, just a clarification on this, like in the last con call you had mentioned that the MIGM order that we are expecting is around broad range of 4,000 crores. So what is the track of us, you know, getting this order by end of this FY26? Are we on track to get that order from the said agency?
4,000 crores is not for Apollo alone. It's for Apollo BDL put together. Okay.
Right.
The second part of your question I already answered that, you know, AON we are expecting any movement. Hopefully, if, you know, it comes faster, you know, the you know, fire movement takes place, you know, the RFU comes in all by end of March. If it comes, it's welcoming. Even if it misses also by Q1, it should be coming. But we are closely monitoring it. But the preparedness is already there as if the order is already with us. That's how, you know, I can say. Because that's how, you know, we are getting a follow-up from our client as well. So accordingly, we are getting fully geared up for that.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I request each participant to ask two questions. The next question is from the line of Manoj Jain, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Namaste, sir, and good afternoon. And congratulations for the excellent set of numbers. My question is regarding this MIGM, which is that, so far I gathered, is that it's about 4,000 crore order, which is going to divide it between BDL and you, and so it will be about a 2,000 crore opportunity for this company. Now, my question is, has all the, you know, all the steps for getting this order been approved? So it's just we are waiting for the order, that's it, or is it some other steps are needed for in order to for this order to mature for us? If you can kindly guide him.
Is in a 4 stages approval is required. What we heard from my colleague, no, the, my colleague is sitting in Delhi. Almost third stage going to get cleared any time. Once third stage is cleared, then it goes for DSA approval. Anything like December we are expecting, before the December end, DSA approval we are expecting.
Okay, and after that it will come anytime. Means that approval, which is that means we are going to get after that. Okay, so by March maybe.
Yeah, after DSA approval, no, then RFQ, this thing, submission of this thing, negotiation, all those things will be there. 2-3 months time it will take once after DSA approval.
Okay, okay, sir. Okay, sir. Thank you for that. And my second question is that I am hearing about the government approving big ticket orders, emergency acquisition and stuff like that. So, means when would something from there percolate to Apollo? Like, you know, all those big things with 70,000 crores, you know, 1 lakh crores and all those things are happening. So, something, some orders from there, what do you expect to get something from there?
Every approval, our contribution also is there. Once it converts into order, we are also expecting good orders from all these programs.
You know,
one of the clearance DSA has given us 72,000 crores clearance. MOD has given 35,000 crores QR something they have given. Some naval base recently also one clearance has come. Every this thing now, our contribution is there, and we are also expecting good orders from all these approvals.
But if you are talking about single 70,000 crore, I think, you know, we do not have any opportunity eyeing for it actually.
Okay, something will percolate from there and you will get out of it. Okay, and one last teasing question, which is that, you know, that Unit 3 will become fully operational by which time?
By June end, it's going to be fully operational. Before June end.
Okay, sir. Okay, sir. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Shah, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Great set of numbers. Hello.
Yeah, thank you.
Hello. Sir, I had two questions. One was, what would be the typical contribution of IDL on top line and bottom line in FY 2027-28? And secondly, is there a ESOP policy or some kind of a policy in place to retain talent in both IDL and Apollo?
Yeah. Right, right.
Presently, the complete share transfer agreement, is likely to get completed in next couple of weeks, sir. After which, yeah. Implementation of any ESOP and other things and all, how we have to do and all, we will have to think internally. The first, the main elephant in the box, you know, is the how to overhaul the company and bring, at a different this thing. Okay, that's something which is very important for us. That overall is what we are trying to do. Presently, at a improving the overall EBITDA margins and improving the PAT margins, bringing into a profit, margins is something which is very important for us actually. Okay. That is something phase one we will be doing. Subsequently, the other things, we would be doing. As I told to other investors also, lot of things are planned. Continuously, we are working on IDL, although the complete share transfer legally, it has not yet happened. All that, management control partially we have taken, we did not take fully. We have started implementing, all those things. You will start getting to hear, one after other, whatever actions that we are taking in IDL from time to time, we will be very vocal about it and we want all our investors to appreciate, you know, how we are going to make this turnaround.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raja Mohan, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on another great set of numbers. The new capacity, which would be 8 times our existing capacity, going by the way the country is rapidly indigenizing and we are converting to a weapons manufacturer from subsystems, could we say this capacity would be put to full use or optimum use over the next 5 years?
If everything goes fine, sir, next 3 years also it can happen. There are certain anti-submarine warfare rockets which are currently under advanced phase of development. It will be going for, you know, trials and testing in next 1.5 quarters from now. There are the matured underwater, mine projects. One already we are talking about that we are going to get a production order very soon. And there is another variant of mine which we have already developed, and one DRDO variant of mine, you know, is in the phase of development. That also will hit production very fast. And there are ground-to-air rockets and ground-to-air, you know, guided rockets and GRAD rockets, you know, which are under development. There are other very small miniaturized, you know, diver-carrying mines which are going for it. Top-attack, anti-attack mines are also will be developed. So there are bouquet of products, you know, if I can count, you know, I can tell you more than 12 to 13 fully full-fledged weapon products, will be hitting production in next 2 years on a very, you know, large-scale basis is what we are contemplating as of now, sir, actually. So if all that fructifies and we are able to get orders for it, touch wood, I think, you know, the facility may not be sufficient also. But as we know that, you know, the defense projects are all staggered and, you know, it happens, you know, one after other, we still foresee that we would still have a time, you know, for us to, you know, gear up further.
It's extremely impressive, sir. And connecting that to the point that you indicated to getting some people for RF, how much further employee expertise in terms of external and probably international technology experts would we be needing in terms of percentage to the current employee base? Or is it not material, as we would be more converting the production to a production ecosystem, which could be done by incremental employee addition?
So presently there are no foreign employees that are there with us. All are Indian employees only. That's point one. Most of them are, homegrown talent, you know, captive within the company or working with the company for quite some time. And there are some new talent that we keep acquiring from time to time, which I have already told, you know, who are a domain experts and other things like. As the day stands, both the R&D, production, come integration and testing, all the teams are sitting here. As the Unit 3 full-fledged operation starts from, you know, Q4 onwards this financial year, the R&D team will continue to sit at the Unit 1, which is the corporate headquarters, and we are going to make it a little more robust. We are going to add up new, capabilities, you know, in terms of the technologies and augment the, overall the methodological way of working of R&D also. Like, you know, we may add up an AI team going forward. We have already started a full-fledged RF team. You know, earlier RF team was a very limited team, but we have taken some core experts who just joined, yesterday itself. And at the same time, certain technologies where we are not fully matured, you know, we are going ahead and acquiring those companies actually, which are there in the, you know, fray, which we have been, you know, vocal for quite some time actually. So this is how, you know, the expansion overall is going to take place. So specific to each technology, it will be an independent group by itself. And specific to team, you know, technological build-up groups will also be built in next, you know, few financial years, you will see like that. So like for example, a naval architecture or a naval-based systems, a specific group will be formed. So that's how, you know, an independent group, under that, you know, there will be a subgroups of, you know, core technological groups which will be there. So this is how the overall chain of the, you know, Apollo as an, you know, R&D, you know, would be, you know, working as.
Thank you very much, sir, and best wishes to convert to a successful company to weapons kind of organization.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Ajinkya Jadhav from Chris PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. In an answer to one of the participants, you said that we have a good capabilities on the sonar end. If you can elaborate more on this and if you can let us know how we are trying to improve on this end.
Sir, that's great information, sir, actually.
Consider this thing like a sonar, this thing is basically torpedo homing system. For lightweight torpedo and heavyweight torpedo and all, in fact, we are the only private company working on things like homing is nothing but a seeker electronics in the underwater. And also, we are working on decay systems like torpedo, decay systems and all, we are working. In fact, we are the only people working on decay systems and torpedo homing systems. So, mining side, BDL is there. BDL is a production agency identified as a second vendor. But technology development side, we are the only people working, in fact.
Okay. Are we there in the anti-submarine warfare like LFVDS or ATS sonar?
Yeah. We are there, very much there.
Okay. So we have a collaboration with
a variety of ASW systems we are doing both on weapon side as well as on the decoying side, which is an electronic warfare side actually. So that's where you can understand from.
Okay. And for LFVDS ATS sonar, we have a collaboration with somewhere or like we develop this tech in house?
We have our own district sensor.
Okay, got it.
Well, last 35 years we are working on sonar side.
Okay. Yeah, that helps. Thank you.
Thank you. We will take that as our last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you so much. So, we extend our sincere gratitude to Ministry of Defense, Government of India for their continued trust in the defense manufacturing ecosystem. Their confidence reflected through substantial investments is a strong endorsement of our nation's industrial capabilities and innovation potential. We remain steadfast in our commitment to delivering advanced solutions that bolster operational readiness and strengthen national security. It is indeed an honor to serve the nation and we stand fully prepared to support our armed forces under all circumstances. I, along with my Managing Director Mr. Karnak Reddy and our CFO Mr. Sudarshan, extend our heartfelt thanks to all our esteemed investors and analysts for being with us today. Your continued trust and partnership mean the world to us. Your participation and feedback are invaluable to us. We remain committed to enhancing our performance and driving substantial growth. We look forward to welcoming you to our facilities where you will have the opportunity to observe our operations and initiatives at a ground level. Should you have any further questions or wish to share your thoughts, please don't hesitate to contact our investor relations team or write to us at investors.relations@apollo-micro.com. Thank you once again for your time and trust. We look forward to reconnecting with you during our Q3 update. Wishing you all a great day ahead. Jai Hind. Happy Guru Purnima.
Thank you.
On behalf of ICICI Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you so much.